Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black, and I am back bringing the good news show to you. I want to thank all of you for listening to us and being loyal to our show. We are having so much fun with the Living Large series. This week's series is week number 6, and it's called Creative Solutions. I am on air with Sherry. Sherry, are you online with us?
I am here, and good morning, Patty. Good morning to everybody. We are talking to you live from Orlando, Florida.
Orlando. Now,
it's the land of Mickey and Minnie. We are having so much fun. We're going to be talking to you this morning about creative solutions.
This is an important week in the series. It actually ties the whole series together. The first week was finding your purpose. And creative solutions is actually your path in life to finding, to living your purpose. So this is very important. You know where you're going, and sometimes we must get creative to get there. So stay tuned and listen to us. Sherry, what do you have for us today?
Well, you know, being creative means bridging the gap between where you are now and where you want to be. You know, we have the opportunity to focus on areas of our lives where we would like to make changes. And we can choose to believe in the possibilities of having a totally balanced life full of great opportunities and emotional freedom. And I do hope that we have inspired you out there to wanting more out of your life, because in helping you to achieve your dreams by realizing your potentials and inspiring you to take action. So, you know, some of the things that we have talked about in the Living Large series and Enjoying Your Life are tools to help you go from where you are now to where you want to be, and learning how to overcome setbacks and steer ourselves towards successes. One of the things I always like remembering and reminding others is that life is so worth living if it is lived in the way that is worth living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on New Year's, you know, we make all these great resolutions. But in life, each day is the new beginning of a new year. And we have choice to make that change at any time. And we'll make it, you know, in that process. If we will make it, make that change and make that choice constantly, you know.
Right.
It doesn't have to be on a
right.
certain day. A calendar date does not determine whether it's going to be a new beginning.
Right. It should be every day. Make a decision to make changes
exactly.
every day and
exactly.
strive towards your purpose and live it.
Exactly. Each day is a new beginning of a better life. And when we're talking about creative solutions, we can train ourselves to use our magnifying crystal balls on all of our all of our lives. And we can focus on our successes and the solutions and not on the problem. And isn't that the way it should be?
Right.
You know, we can interpret in a positive way and say, there is another way, and look at things, and there usually is another way of doing things. And, you know, what good can come from this situation? That's what we need to look at. What gifts or opportunities are there?
Mm-hmm.
And what purpose can this serve?
Mm-hmm. Also, there are many, many ways to achieve a goal, but the path of least resistance makes the most sense. That's going with the flow. It's, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Follow that straight line and get to where you're going, because we have a lot of life to live in a short period of time.
Exactly. If we're going in a river and we're going upstream and we're paddling hard and we're trying to get up that river, it's going to take us a lot longer than if we just go with the river's flow.
Go with the flow. Enjoy.
And, you know, we can say, how can I use this to become a better person? And we can change our thoughts and do it one thought at a time. You know, because that is the goal, my friends, to be the best that we can be, and to love and be lovable, and to come up with solutions creatively. And in doing that, coming from love and compassion and not from fear and envy, we're creating a light around us, and in turn, we're more peaceful in the outcome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's important to be able to be creative, because in life, we are faced with change. You know, we have an idea of how to accomplish something, but something happens, and before you know it, you're on plan B or plan C, plan D, and sometimes E and F. That's when you really have to be creative.
And you know what? It usually turns out a lot better than what plan A was supposed to be.
You're right.
You know, usually when I need to address a situation that needs a solution, I always take a little more time in meditation. I focus on my breathing, and I go to that place inside that stores all my inner knowing and answers. And if I do that, I always come back with an aha, okay, that's what I need to do. Excuse me. And then I take the action, and I do the best that I can do, and then I let it go, and I get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that is just, you know, that's just the way that I need to do it. So, and it always works for me to be able to go within and where my inner knowing knows all the answers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's always amazing when you do let yourself go within and you see what's going to come out of this.
Mm-hmm. And when you do that, Sherry, before you go into your quiet space, do you reference the list that you advised everybody to make in the earlier part of the series? Do you go back and read it and get in tune with what your thoughts were when you were trying to find your purpose?
I go through that list every morning when I wake up, and I look at the list of what I'm looking to create, where I want to go with my life, and I do what I've been talking to everybody about, doing the visualizations and affirmations. I always talk about taking 5 minutes in the morning and taking 5 minutes at night and really putting that's the movie screen of your life. You are creating what you want for your life. What do you want your movie to look like? Who do you want the people in your movie? You know, what are the characters? What are they? How are they acting? What's going on? Make it colorful. And that's what I do. I spend that time doing that. And then I always go into affirming as if it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked for me. You know, I spoke to a few people, and I asked them what were they creative with making changes and in challenging times. And here is what some of them said.
Let's hear it. We want to hear this.
One woman said she adopted a baby when she found out that she couldn't have a baby.
Mm.
And that to her was a, you know, going with a creative solution. Instead of worrying about it for years and talking about it and really, you know, what am I going to do? And you can't have a child. And you almost, there is that option that you can adopt a child.
There is, that's right, there is that option.
And another one said, when she, you know, when they were faced with addictions, and whether it's an alcohol or a drug addiction, sex addiction, or food or work addiction, there is 12-step programs out there. Find a 12-step program and go that way. You know, you don't have to do these things alone, because there's a lot of help and a lot of support out there.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you build your network of people, and you bring a certain type of people around you, people who are positive and trying to grow and who have been growing. I know in the 12-step programs, people have been there for years, 15, 20 years, and it's a great way of life. You have a network of people, so that's a good creative solution.
It is, because this is something that you don't have to do alone, and you need to build your support team, as we talk about, and that is definitely one of the greatest support teams that are out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that even extends to the individual who doesn't necessarily have an addiction or a need for a program like that, but there are other types of clubs, organizations, volunteer programs that an individual can get involved with to be surrounded by people and have
exactly.
A social network. Life is living large is having people around you and interacting, loving, and sharing love back and forth, sharing like-minded people is a key to living. And
right.
We're not meant to be home alone.
Right. It's opening yourself up to what are the possibilities. What are your what is out there for you? You know, here's another one. If you're living in a home or an apartment and you don't like it, you might have just moved into it. It just doesn't feel like it's fulfilling your soul with joy. Well, move out. You know, instead of like sitting at, you know, like you're there years and you're just not happy, find a way, you know, to talk to your landlord, be honest with your landlord. And you know what? They usually will help you. They're usually very helpful. And you don't have to be anywhere that you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get rid of all the old stuff. It's great to try something new, do something different. And every day I suggest do something different for about a month. And it feels so good to be able to have that change.
Wow,
you know?
that would be a whirlwind. Do something different every day. That sounds fun.
Get creative there, trying to think about what you can do. And
that's right. Exercise that part of your mind. Listeners, we want to hear from you, so pick up the phone, give us a call. We want to hear from you on this beautiful Monday morning. You could call us at 347-324-5983. It's 347-324-5983. And if you don't have access to a phone, or if you're not listening to us live, you can always send us an email at thegoodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's GOODNEWSSHOW@yahoo.com. This is Patty Black broadcasting to you from Orlando, Florida, bringing the good news to you. And I am on air with Sherry. Now, Sherry, we have an email from one of our listeners, and it is a list of tips for saving gas. And I think this is good news because most of us are faced with these high gas prices. So would you like to share this with us?
Yes. Let me see. You know, this is a email from Harry Saul, and, you know, he says, don't use your brakes, because every time you brake on the gas pedal, on the brake pedal, you are taking up more gas energy there. And he says, go 3 to 5 miles under the speed limit,
mm-hmm.
and stay in the right-hand lane. Now, that's very interesting, because I know that I was driving with someone that was going the speed limit, and I was like, oh, my God, they're going so slow. But now I see, after hearing this, they had a point, you know, and it is challenging to get yourself to go 3 to 5 miles under the speed limit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. We're used to a certain momentum in the car. We want to get there. We have to get there.
Right. And he says that, you know, it only takes you another, like, 10 minutes or so to get to where you're going. And here you are, you know, you're able to save that much more.
You're conserving gas. And then driving in the right lane, I guess, if you are passing cars, you're accelerating, so you're using more gas to pass a car. So just stay in one lane and go.
Yeah, he says just let everybody go.
That's a good tip. Mm-hmm.
He also says, or buy a hybrid, which is something I'm thinking about.
A hybrid is just a car that makes sense. I've talked to people who have a hybrid. I heard that somebody drove from South Florida to North Carolina on $42 of gasoline.
Yeah.
I mean, what a world of difference that would make for many of us. It's also helping the environment. So I think hybrid is the way to go, you know.
It's smart.
It's a smart way, and there are many models of cars now. Even Lexus has hybrid models. There are huge vehicles, SUVs, that are hybrids. So I know that is going to require an investment, but it makes sense. So start thinking that way. And another tip I've heard about gas, Sherry, is when you pump your gas, pump it slowly, because the faster you do it, the more it vaporizes, and you're actually getting less for your dollar. And do it early in the morning when the gas under the ground, the big pumps, are at a cooler temperature. because you're going to get more for your money now doing it that way. So, listeners, there's our good news tips, and now let's get back to the Living Large series and creative solutions.
I do want to tell everybody, if you have any tips for us, give us an email. Let us know what your ideas are, and because we're all trying to deal with this high gas expenses now, and we'd like to hear everything that you have to give us.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few more things. You know, there's something else that somebody had told us that as far as having a creative solution. If you are in a job, you like your job, but you're not making enough money, well, think about it creatively. Think about something that you can do. Create an extra position for yourself. Bring it to your boss and tell them what you can do to generate more money. And let them know that this is what you can do for them and that this is what it's worth for you. And, you know, you can add another 20% or so to your paycheck. And I was told this by somebody that actually did this. And it's a very creative way to make some more money. Put yourself out there in the job that you like and see what else that you can do there that's going to generate some more money for you. And I had another friend that told me that giving up her power was a big solution for her because you don't have to be the director anymore.
Mm.
You know, and here's the deal. You don't have to get attached to the outcome. You know, isn't that great to know? Because we need to be able to just let things go, flow with what's going on. And boy, you do see that wherever you're going, how good things are going to happen to you. You know, you open yourself up and allow good things to happen. And always being positive. Changing, you know, we say, if you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at will change.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that true?
That is true.
I do want to tell everybody, because this is our mantra, so live simply, love generously, care deeply, and speak kindly. And that is what we've got.
We love that.
We
listeners, we have a special guest coming on air with us at 6:30 this morning. We have Chris Jackson, so we want you to stay tuned for that. We also have another caller that should be calling in about 3 or 4 minutes, Rob Shapiro, who's made a huge change in his life, and we're going to hear about how that has affected him and his wife and family and how it was a positive thing for them, and they're just living larger than ever before.
Yeah, you know, also, you know, in talking about living large, it doesn't go without telling you about having gratitude in your life. Gratitude unlocks the fulfillment in our life. You know, it turns what we think we don't have into enough and more. And it really is one of the things that when you stay in your gratitude, you don't have room for anything other than that feeling of fullness in your life. You don't have room for anger and resentment. Gratitude is an incredible tool to unlock the doors to gratefulness. And I always tell everybody to write down 10 things that they're grateful for and really getting in touch with that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good key to just reminding yourself about the things you are grateful for. Write it down. Remind yourself. We forget things. And so if you make a list, that's a good reminder. Sometimes if you go back to a list that you wrote a month ago, it really just, you see it from a different perspective, and then your gratefulness is stronger. Sherry, we do have our caller coming in, so let me bring him on live.
Good morning, Sherry, Patty.
Good morning. You're on the Good News Show. Is this Rob?
Yes, it is. Hi, girl.
Hi. Thank you for calling in, Rob.
Oh, My pleasure. Good morning to your listening audience as well, too. I understand you have a fantastic audience. It's growing all the time, and that's awesome. So good day to everybody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Bob, we're so happy you've called in. We understand that you have made a huge change in your life, and it involved actually moving from New Jersey to Florida. It also involved a change in career, and we'd love for you to tell our listeners about it and how it has affected your life now.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an amazing story to me, too, and I guess maybe almost, it seems like almost maybe 3 years now, a couple of years back. Cindy, has it been a couple of years now?
It's been almost 2.5 years that we actually made the big change.
So,
hi, Cindy.
Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
That's my lovely wife, Cindy, and of course, you know, being married for 31 years, you know, we have done everything together, including this change, and it was something that we consciously made this decision together, because back in New Jersey a few years back and running some successful businesses back there, things started to turn a little bit and kind of seemed to be out of our control, and not in a good way, as much as we struggled, and I know you girls talk about that too. And you know, we just kind of felt like, you know what, it is time. After 20 years of running those businesses and you know, having had great success there and raising a family and so on, we just mm-hmm. thought, you know what, we've got to search out something else now at this point. And so I always had a dream of something that I wanted to do, a specific place that I wanted to be with a specific company. And, you know, without name dropping, obviously, you know, we're in Orlando, so you know, that might tell you a little clue there as to, you know, what I was thinking about too. You know,
I got it.
I always just wanted to be somehow involved with that particular organization, and you know, thought that, you know, how do I get there? And you know, by none of I almost want to feel none of my devices that Cindy and I could have controlled, because the timing of selling a corporation of retail stores, selling properties, removing myself from the trenches that we were in. I was involved in political affairs. I was an elected official in New Jersey, and of course we have two kids, and so we were doing all those other things that family people do. And Cindy was right alongside there too. I mean, that's how we've created a successful marriage, is by doing things together side by side. So we decided we got to change something, and you know, Cindy was gracious enough to kind of follow my vision and, you know, and allow me to take a step towards fulfilling this kind of career dream of mine too. And you know, I'm very driven about when I have a vision in my mind, and Cindy knows this. I'm kind of stubborn in a sense, but we both are very good about creating a clear vision for what we want, and then we're tenacious about going after it. And I think that's part of what created such huge success in all areas of our life, all of our life. So we decided, you know, we got to do something. But again, through no device of my own, it seems, things fell into place. You know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night back in New Jersey just distraught, trying to search out answers, praying. You know, I'd wake up and sometimes not even sleep at night and turn into the Bible and just open it up, saying, whatever I open up to has got to start providing me some answers. And you know, lo and behold, the turn of events that happened in our life were big, big changes, but I don't think, as much as I'd love to take credit for it, there's no way I could have orchestrated the events the way they happened to get into the career position that I'm in. It's one of the most elusive, sought-after career positions within this organization, this company that I'm in here, and it's just no way that I could have come from the outside in such a short period of time, within 3 to 4 months, have accomplished and achieve getting into the job role that I'm in right now. So the solution that we were looking for was our vision, and you know, it was created by our own desire. But you know, I know that that there are some other powers at work to help us create our vision, or you know, help our vision come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So you know, it's just been an amazing journey over the past couple of few years from us for us too, and now we don't have the, you know, the golden handcuffs of business, which was great, but you know, kind of a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. You know, I was due to crack, right, Sin?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
That's like a 24-hour responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You never get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that, Cindy? There was something that you have always told us, and do you remember what that was about never saying?
We have over the past few years, basically taking the word "try" out of our vocabulary, and because we just felt that the word "try" just was a backdoor to failure or to not really achieving what we wanted to achieve. So we just did it. You do it or you don't do it. You don't try to do it. You know, that kind of always irked, you know, got under my skin, that word "try." So we just did it. You know, we just picked up and moved and made a very huge change. And if it didn't work, great. We would do something else. But it happened to work perfectly. So I give that, you know, that suggestion to anybody. Just do it. Just get out and make a change, and either you do it right or you don't. And
yeah,
if you don't,
you
just
mm-hmm.
do it something
you
else,
know,
something
you know,
different. Mm-hmm.
Norman Schwarzkopf, I don't know, a lot of folks may not remember that name, General Norman Schwarzkopf, you know, one of our country's military leaders years back, had taught us a saying. He said, you know, just make a decision. In other words, a lot of folks will vacillate about making a decision. Is this the right thing to do? I don't know. You know, should
uh-huh.
I do it or not? You know, Norman said, you know what, just do it. Just make the decision. But then you have to work to make that decision be the right decision. So, you know, the work is in you know, creating whatever it is you decided. You know,
mm-hmm.
don't work so hard at the decision.
At the decision, right, right. I've read somewhere that successful people make decisions quickly and undo them slowly if they need to.
Exactly. Because you can. You can always kind of, you know, turn a couple degrees and, you know, kind of change the course a little bit, or, you know, sometimes folks have to turn 360 degrees, you know, but, you know, I believe that, you know, we're in command of our own ship that way. You know, God has given us the power to be able to create in our lives that way. Of course, you know, if you always have the positive vision, that's what he wants for us. So keep thinking positive, keep saying this will happen, this is what I'm going to do, and you know, don't go back. Like Cindy says, it's not, let me try, you know, no way. You know, hey,
right.
I'm going to make it the right day today.
And you have
right.
to take action.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
you have to follow that with action.
And what it really, what is involved there is courage. I'm sure it took an enormous amount of courage to make this change that you've made.
Yeah, Patty, you know, I never really thought about it until, I guess, till you brought it up here too, even. But, you know, we've never looked at ourselves as courageous people. We just look at ourselves as, you know, highly driven people, and, you know, maybe there's a certain amount of underlying courage to that as well too. But you know, we don't fear making a change, because life is constantly, it's just a growth process. It is all about change. You know, if you're comfortable, that's a dangerous place to be. You know, because you're not trying. You stopped. You almost shut down. So comfortable is not a good place to be. So we've never had a fear or, you know, this courageousness about doing something. We've always just said, hey, let's go do this. And boom, you know, we have our vision. And Cindy and I, I'm really, truly blessed to have Cindy all these years of my life, because, you know, we are just such a one kind of a symbiotic unit, it seems, at times, that we, you know, it's just amazing, our relationship. And so we were able to work and create things together in our life so well, for us, for our children, and those people in our lives and around us too, and that we choose to help and so on. And it's just great. It's just really
well,
great.
Rob, I just want to say that she is the strong woman behind the strong man. And we thank you so much, for both of you, for calling us in. And we are going to say goodbye. And we hope to hear from you again.
We appreciate what you've shared with us and our listeners, because those are words of wisdom. And your story is great. And we hope to hear from you again soon.
And it definitely fits
you.
Into our living your life large and having fun with it. So thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you, girls. And
all
your listeners, have a great
day
out there.
Day.
Choose to make
all
it
right.
a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Now, listeners, we have our guest online. I'm going to bring him in. So stay tuned for
Chris
Jackson.
Good morning. You're on the Good News Show.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good
Hi, Patty.
Morning. Hi.
Good to have you with us, Chris. Thanks for calling in. This is Chris Jackson, and I know if some of you were listening to me last week, I told you that one of the people in my support team is, and my spiritual support team is my minister, and here we have Chris Jackson with us. He is a senior minister at Unity on the Bay. So thank you for calling in, Chris.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity, both of you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, Chris, we'd like for you to share with our listeners your story. How did you get involved in the ministry? Was there something that happened in your life that made a turn for you?
Well, actually, I'm kind of a rare breed, you might say. I grew up in the Unity Movement. My grandmother, many years ago, was a devout Methodist, and with all due respect to that faith, as the story goes, she came home one day and basically said, I don't want to continue to go somewhere on Sunday mornings where I leave thinking of myself as in so many words, a worthless sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a turning point in her life all those decades ago. And somebody told her about this place called Unity. She lived in Kansas City, Missouri at the time, and so she went down to hear this minister named Charles Fillmore, who so happened to be the co-founder of the Unity Movement in 1889 with his wife Myrtle, and was just quite taken by the message. So that became the family's church, and the generations succeeded, and I'm something along the lines of a third or fourth generation Unity student myself now. So I grew up in the Unity Church, and it was quite influential, especially in my early years. I knew when I was 12 years old that I wanted to be a minister. Now, the road it took to get there was quite different than I anticipated, which is usually the way it is in life. there was a period in my life where I really completely left the church, and I suppose you could say I just needed to go out and explore the world, and that can be difficult, if not hazardous at times, but that's what I did having left college during my second year. I did a little exploration. I'm a bit of a rebel myself, and so I have to sort of find my own way. And I went through a number of experiences, including some drug addiction and alcohol abuse and things of that sort. At the time, I didn't understand why that was happening to me, as is often the case with our lives. But looking back on it now, I realize that had I not been broken out of my insulated world by those harsh experiences, I would never have been able to bring a level of compassion to life that is truly necessary for a real effective ministry. You know, when I speak to people about their challenges in life, I'm not speaking theoretically. I'm speaking out of my own experience and my own past, and I think that makes...
That makes all the difference in the world. It really
does. It really does, yeah.
That's your point of reference.
Exactly. So I was living in Missouri with my folks at that time and ended up during one of the more difficult summers of my life. My mom came home from church and said they were looking for a part-time tour guide at the world headquarters of the Unity Movement in Missouri. And so I went and applied, and I've said since then, I don't know why they hired me. My hair was way down over my shoulders, and I even one day, years later, I asked the lady who did hire me why she hired me, and she said, I really have no idea. So I figured that was just the universe tapping her on the shoulder. And I stayed there 26 years. I stayed there 26 years and retired as vice president in 2001. That was when I left to come to field ministry, and left to come to South Florida, which was 5 years at Unity of the Palm Beaches in West Palm Beach, and now 2 years, hard as that is to believe, 2 years at Unity on the Bay.
Well, I've gone to Unity on the Bay, and I've heard you speak, and you really have a way of speaking that just touches people. I watched the people listening to you, and they just, they're in tune with what you're saying, and I too experience that. You have a great speaking voice, and you just know how to reach in there and just touch the soul.
That's it. I think you really come from your heart, and you know your true essence comes out. And you know, we're talking about, you know, being creative in our lives and coming up with creative solutions and knowing what is you know, the difference between acceptance or change. Mm-hmm. And what can you tell our listeners about that? You know, is it like if you're in a job situation that you're not happy with, or how do you defer between, am I going to just accept this is happening, or do I make that change?
Well, I think from my position, change made out of desperation is never healthy change. I don't know, perhaps I should not say it's never a healthy change. But what I mean by that is I believe that acceptance is always a precursor to any kind of change. In other words, if there's a situation that a person's having difficulty with, to resist the reality of any given moment is to create suffering for oneself. And decisions that are made or changes that are made from a position of suffering are difficult, very difficult changes to make. If a person can, I'm not saying that we like the situation that we're in or that we would not like to be in a different situation, but if we can reach that point where we can just accept where we are and say, I don't know why I'm here, but I do believe that there's some kind of higher order or intelligence that works in every human life. And it has placed me in this predicament for a reason. So I accept that, and I accept the gift that is in this situation. Always, 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 I believe that the universe is giving, and it's always giving in benevolent ways that seek to support our highest good. We may not be able to see it. Oftentimes we can't. But if we can just accept that the current moment, the present moment, is not subject to our interpretation, to our labeling, to our praise, or to our condemnation. Every present moment is bringing exactly what we need. So if we can get to that place of acceptance, though we may not like where we are, we'll find a sense of peace nonetheless. Now, once we have found that sense of peace, once we can say, maybe I don't like it, maybe it's not the way I would like things to go or thought things would go, but I'm going to accept that there's a gift in this, then there comes a level of peace out of which any necessary change can be made. But it's that peace must always be the goal, because when we're in that state of peace, we open ourselves to right solutions. There's a formula that I use, and sometimes more effectively than others, but it's called the four R's. And the first R is relax. And if someone comes to me and they're in a challenge or they're a dilemma, they're seeking support, advice, or the answer to a question, as simple as it sounds, I just say, start by becoming aware of your breathing and just try to relax your body. Because it's from a place of relaxation that we can begin to move into a place of the second R, which is release. In other words, the ability to let go of our attachment to fear, to shame and guilt. Shame and guilt are, if there was a devil, shame and guilt are the devil. And shame and guilt will never bring us peace. So if we can just breathe into those experiences and ask ourselves to release them to the best of our ability. Because once we're relaxed, once we've released doubt, fear, shame, and guilt, then we can receive what I call revelation, the third R. And revelation is the right answer. You see, we operate under the illusion that we must go to people and to resources outside of ourselves to know what to do, to find the answer, to make the right move, to dance the right dance. And that is a fallacy. There is a power inside of us that will without effort, once we're relaxed and once we've released, it will without effort reveal right answers. It will without effort give us ideas for new ways of being and new things to do and perfect and right solutions. And then out of that third R of revelation comes my favorite part. The first three R's are, I think, the most difficult. But the fourth is revolution. You know, what we need on this planet right now and what we need in our personal lives is nothing less than a revolution of thought. I say sometimes at Unity on the Bay that we're there to redefine the human race. You know, we've got all these erroneous ideas about what we're doing here, the victimization of ourselves and other people, the woe is me complex. Scripture says that money is the root of all evil, and I say low self-esteem is the root of all evil.
Wow.
So those four R's have been very helpful to me, and I know sometimes when we're in a crisis, the last thing we feel like we can do is relax or release.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's the best investment of our time.
So it's relax.
Relax, release.
Release.
Revelation, and then revolution.
Revelation, and then revolution. Okay. Okay.
Right. Because anytime we go within, see, this is in complete reversal to what we're taught by the world. The world says, look everywhere outside yourself, because the world thinks that you are lacking something. The world thinks that you are without something that you need in order to be whole. So every time that we can shift that, every time we can experience the revelation of this vast, I mean, it is incomprehensible, the resource that we have within us. Mm-hmm. We just put ourselves down to the point where we shut it off. And when we relax and when we release, we can open up to that, and it will pour revelation into our life. It will redefine us.
Mm.
Then once we're redefined, of course, we have the awesome joy and the sacred responsibility of helping others to realize that they can redefine themselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking about conscious accountability, we also have to be able to be accountable for ourselves and our lives. And what do you have to say about that, Chris?
I absolutely agree. And I think that comes down to what I mentioned earlier. It's the release of victimization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, if something goes wrong in our life, the first thing we look for is the guilty parties to blame. And if we can't find them out, if we can't find them in somebody else, then we'll guilt ourselves and blame ourselves. And to me, conscious accountability is nothing more than the recognition, and this is a tough one sometimes, the recognition, as Course in Miracles says this so beautifully, in one simple sentence, it's this. I am doing this to myself. Whatever it is that we're experiencing in life, I am doing this to myself. And I can change what I'm doing. I can become consciously accountable and say, all right, if I'm not at peace, it's because I have chosen to allow unpeaceful thoughts to take up a permanent residency in my own consciousness, in my own mind. And that is a choice that I am making. And I am just as free to make a different choice. I can choose to evict those thoughts, you know, bless them, thank them, and let them go. And I can allow different thoughts, peaceful thoughts, to take up residency. So once we realize that nobody else is accountable for the thoughts that we are holding in our minds except us.
Right.
You know, no one else can do that. Nobody else can force us to plant a thought in our mind. We have to say yes to it. And then what we do is we take on all these other ideas from other people, and then they don't work for us, and we seek to blame and persecute.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like we're listening to their voices, and we're ignoring our voice, which is the lower voice inside.
Right. And then what we're doing is we're giving our power away. And I love this line that I once heard, which is, we give our power away to other people, and then we get really angry at them for having taken it.
Right.
That's great.
We're walking around going, here, take my power. Come on, please, take my power. And then they take it. And we go, well, you know, what the hell did you do that for?
Yeah. You just walk away scratching your head, you know?
Exactly. Which is part of it, you know, you get to a certain level here and you just have to laugh.
You have to laugh yourself. And also, I worked with, you know, telling people about forgiveness. You know, that's such an important part of releasing for me also is forgiveness. And we have to forgive ourselves, the first person we have to forgive. And somebody had told me about they get up every morning and they look in the mirror and they look at themselves and they say, I forgive you every day. And that has been such a powerful thing for this person. And I've told everybody, all our listeners, and it's really become something that everybody loves to hear. What do you think about that?
I think it's right on. I have a little different definition of forgiveness than some, I think, in that I think oftentimes we think of forgiveness as being an act of benevolence. Sort of like, you know, you did something really bad, but I love you and I forgive you in spite of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, certainly that helps to bring a greater level of peace to our hearts. But I really have, for myself, kind of redefined the word forgive, and I've split it into two parts, for and give, or forgiving. In other words, if there's somebody that I feel has treated me unjustly, what I seek to do is realize that I'm always free to interpret what happens to me in my life. And in unity, we have a basic premise, which is that there are not two opposing powers. There is not, ultimately, in the spiritual sense of things, there's not good and evil. There's only one presence. And what that means is that if there's only one presence, and it's goodness, then everything that is coming to me from my life, from another person, is coming to me in its purest form as a gift. You see, even though it may appear that someone betrays us, let's say in a relationship, somebody cheats on somebody, and that appears to be betrayal, from the perspective of one presence and one power, ultimately, that betrayal is a gift. You know, in fact, betrayal can be one of the greatest gifts one person can give to another. Sometimes I've said the people that we have the most difficulty loving in this life may, in fact, be the ones who love us the most. They may be the ones that bring to us those difficult lessons that we learn. Mm-hmm. And once we realize that there's a lesson in it, then we realize there's nothing really to forgive. You know, that there's a gift in everything. The only thing that we need to forgive or to give over to a higher power is our interpretation of what happened, because we perceive it to be an evil formed against us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in truth, it's not. There's a gift in it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's where being grateful comes in, because you can be grateful even for the lessons that you are learning and the challenges that you're getting. There's something in that that's going to come from it, and you can be grateful for what you don't have because you now have something that you're looking for, or being grateful for the experience of the loss or whatever it is that you're going through, because there is something behind that where good is going to come from it.
A growth, spiritual growth.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I say, whatever's troubling us, whatever people we feel have wronged us, instead of coming up with an act of benevolence that says, what you did was rotten, but I'm going to love you anyway, instead of that, just hand your entire interpretation of the situation or the person over to your higher power. Just hand it over and say, I am not capable of interpreting this, but I have a power within me that can interpret it for good. I love also what the Course in Miracles says in one sentence so beautifully. It says, I cannot perceive my own best interests.
Right.
That's a mouthful for a lot of us, because we think we know what's best for us, and of course we think we know what's best for everybody else.
Right. being in control.
Yes. And yet, we're moving into this phenomenal evolution of consciousness in which we have to get comfortable, or I heard your previous guest, don't get too comfortable, but we have to get familiar with living life a different way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Being able to let go and go with the flow and be able to just, you know, getting into that boat and let, you know, go with the river, go with the flow that's going. And and it usually is going to, it's going to take you in the right place.
Yep, that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I encourage people to trust their life. I think there's a spiritual genius inside every one of us, and that spiritual genius knows what it's doing. So we have to learn to trust where that boat is taking us. It's not just on some helter-skelter random ride through, you know, some kind of
life.
Mm-hmm. Carnival of pointless activity. There's a reason for everything that happens to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that you have given us so many incredible things to think about, Chris. Thank you so much for this some really great things that you said that we'll really be able to take with us. I love the input that you have on the Course in Miracles, because you know, a lot of people that don't know what that is about, it's very interesting to be able to interpret things and look at things from a different way. It's in all in our perception.
Yes.
You know.
And what I love about A Course in Miracles and the Unity teachings is that I call them psychologically healthy religion. You know, religion has done some really weird stuff. I'm sure all of it's been part of this same great grand plan. But to find a psychologically healthy religion, that is one that does not condemn you, but supports you, you know, to live a better life,
mm-hmm.
is a gift. And that's why I'm so grateful for both Unity and Course in Miracles.
Yeah, that is a gift.
And many other wonderful teachings that are coming upon the planet right now. You know, the great work of Eckhart Tolle, Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer. I mean, some wonderful teachers are being given to us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There's a shift in consciousness taking place.
And I think that's what we need. I think the other night on one program, Al Gore was reminding us of the concerns around global warming, and he closed his comments by saying, the only thing that will get us through this is a change in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, one is at hand.
Right.
Well, there is such a shift that is going on. And it's good, because you can see it, that people are so much more aware. There's all these little things that are, you know, the Eckhart Tolle, all these other entities and people that are coming out with things that people are listening. People seem to have their ears open more than ever now, that they want to hear, they want to be able to take on a new road and be spiritually enlightened. And don't you feel that? If people are really more open and willing, it seems, to, like, you know, to put themselves out to have other possibilities and get back to their spiritual self, and to, you know, to let their higher power, their God, their totem, the universe, take over and
lead them.
And
mm-hmm.
Lead them, because we want that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a great receptivity, and for all your listeners, as well as the two of you, and even for myself, I say we must remember that the work that we are doing is extraordinarily courageous work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're willing to stand up against the thinking and the beliefs of our time and find or be open to a better way. Well, that's not easy, because you know, that's where the letting go comes in, because we have to find the courage to let go of the familiar and to let go of what has brought us comfort and peace. And transcend to a different level. Well, would that there could just be some kind of a fairy godmother that comes along and bonks us on the head with a magic wand and suddenly we're enlightened. That would be lovely. But for most of us, we have to walk a very difficult path that involves letting go. It may involve letting go of dear relationships in our lives, or long-cherished beliefs, or
mm-hmm.
ways of being. And there's a lot of sadness, and there's a lot of confusion in all that. But you know what they say, sadness and confusion are always the mother of enlightenment. So if you wake up this morning feeling sad and confused, get ready. You could be standing on the very verge of the most enlightened moment of your life.
Wow.
You know, that the saying of let go and let God, Now, it seems like, it sounds like it's such an easy thing to do. And then people go,
because it's a short sentence.
What do you mean, let go? What does exactly letting go mean? You know?
Right.
Well, it does take a lot of courage. It, you reminded me of Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie The 11th Hour, which really never made it to the theaters. But if you haven't seen that, for both you and Sherry and listeners, if you haven't seen it, try to find it and see it. It's, he has a stance of courage with what he's saying in that movie, and it's all about changing the environment and the shifting consciousness. And he does take a stance against some of the decisions the government has made, and I think that may be part of the reason it never really made it to the theaters. But it took him a lot of courage to do what he's done, as it takes all of us.
Yes, it does.
A lot of courage. So, Chris, we have about 4 more minutes, and before we sign off, I'd like to know if you have any other words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, I would just say that I think that there is a band of souls on this planet right now that are hearing this message, as you say, of receptivity. It's just as though, on some level, we all know that it's time for a change at depth. We may not know what that change looks like. We probably don't know how it feels, but we're open. And I believe that what is needed on this planet more than anything right now is people that have what I will call an agenda-free rapport. And by that, what I mean is they are not bringing a personal agenda. They're not bringing a personal objective or goal into their relationships and into their life. What they're doing instead is they're saying, I'm going to be open to mystery. I'm going to be open to what I can't see in this situation. I'm going to be open to a new idea. You see, it's fundamentalist thinking. It's rigid, stagnant thinking that causes the pain and the suffering. So if we can just say, I'm not going to come in here with a preconceived set of ideas or expectations. I'm going to have an agenda-free rapport, and I'm going to allow each moment of my life to reveal to me that which I need to know. And then I'm going to trust it. And I'm going to trust it, and I'm going to bring it into my life. I have 3 things I say to people. The first one is show up. Show up where you know you're supposed to show up. Be there. Mm-hmm. And be as fully present as possible. Secondly, speak your truth from your heart. Now, that can be a tough one, but find the courage to speak what is in your heart in any given moment. And the third one is trust, which is the letting go. But I feel that we do have a band of souls on this planet that are receptive to that and that are seeking to live it. And I think that our salvation lies in that. I believe that we are one another's saviors.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And also, say what you mean. Mean what you say, but don't say it mean.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Wow. Well, listeners, I do want to remind you that our shows are archived. I know that we have a lot of wisdom in this show, and Chris, we are honored to have you share your knowledge and yourself with us and our listeners, because it's really going to impact a lot of people who are listening to the Live in Large series. So, listeners, the show is archived. You can listen to it as many times as you want to, 24 hours a day online. And I believe we have run out of time. Chris, we want to thank you very much for making time to share with us.
And
love
thank
you both.
So
it's a great way, to start the day.
Getting up this early. Yes, getting up this early and coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Early bird catches the worm. I'm going to go out and get a worm here.
Oh, great.
We love you.
Love you both. Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much for being with us, and we want to let you know that we will be talking to you next week, and next week we are in week 7, and that week 7 is going to be being centered no matter what the challenge is.
And our guest next week is Jessica Porter.
Oh, yes, and you're in for it. Jessica is absolutely fabulous. We met her when we were on the Healthy Holistic Health Cruise that we've told you about, and we are going to hear from her. She is also a hypnotist, and she has some great things that she's going to share.
Authored some books.
Some great books. The Hippie Chick's Guide to Macrobiotics. She's also a cook and chef, and she...
And I'm telling you, her personality is of humor.
She ignites the room.
She's a comedian. She does. And the topic for the seventh week is Be Centered, No Matter What the Challenge. So we're going to sign off. We want to thank you for being with the Good News Show, and we look forward to emails with your suggestions and comments about the topics. And we want to thank you.
Thank you. And I hope that we have said something here that has helped somebody today. So have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.